2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You know what time it is?
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah
is on the KSL Sports Zone. The Utes kick off Pac-12 play with a trip to Arizona State for a showdown against the Sun Devils. Your home for the best coverage of Utah football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. This is Unrivaled, presented by G2G Bar on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, out the next couple days here. Well, he's out yesterday, out today. The marriage of his daughter, and he's going to be calling the Utah-Arizona State game tomorrow. So long, event-filled weekend for our own Scott Mitchell here. So joining me on the program, we just had Sam Farnsworth on for the last hour and a half, and then we have the chance to get our own Matt Biamonte from KSLSports.com, Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio, joining me on the show. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, Alex. How you doing, man?
Fantastic, dude. Getting ready for another weekend of college football. This is what we live for, right? All these weekends of getting ready for BYU, for Utah State here locally. Let's start things off there on the side of things with BYU. The Oregon loss, you and I haven't been able to talk about it since last week. Or we didn't get to talk about it at all. Your initial thoughts as to where BYU is as a program right now, did we get a sense that they were overhyped or that they just weren't ready for that singular game?
I don't know if they're overhyped. I do think more of it probably belongs in the credit category for Oregon. Oregon was a really hard team to get a feel for before that game because Georgia looks like maybe the runaway favorite for a repeat national championship. They just look absolutely outstanding. And so maybe Georgia's just really dang good and no one is as good as Georgia. And then I thought what Oregon did was really smart because you heard some commentary throughout the week here on the KSL Sports Zone, Ben Bywater being one of them, saying we thought it was going to be a speed game on the perimeter. That's not what the game was. It was smash mouth football and BYU was not ready for it. I know they were missing a couple guys on the line, but I don't think they were prepared. And then if you tackle as poorly as BYU did against Oregon, you can lose to anybody. I mean, there was at least 30 missed tackles against Oregon. So defensively, if you're not going to tackle and you can't get off the field on third and fourth down, because Oregon was 3 of 3 on fourth down. So if you can't tackle and you can't get off the field, it doesn't matter what your offense does. It doesn't matter what your special teams does. That's why Oregon scored on their first six possessions, and when that happens, you're going to lose. So I'm not ready to say BYU was overhyped, but there are definitely some holes in the ship that they need to plug tomorrow against Wyoming.
Matt, one of the things that we watched over the last couple of weeks is, and we signed it off as, well, Baylor does have a really, really good run defense. And then last week you go, well, I guess Oregon had a really, really good run defense too. But this offensive line and this run game has to be reeling considering the amount of hype they got before the season and where these last two games for BYU has just been really inept in the run game.
Yeah, the run game is a real problem. I think that's one of the issues that this team has right now, because with that much talent and that much experience on the offensive line, they should be run blocking better. This is the same group as last year. And I don't care what anyone says, Alex, Tyler Allgeier is not busting off 100 yards a game behind the line that's played these last 2 weeks last season. But it's the same guys. So I think something's got to give there. I'd love to see a schematic tweak. I just feel like if you can't run block with your front five, how can you get more run blocking players on the field? And I think one of those guys is Houston Haimuli. I feel like in 2020, when Mason Wake played the fullback position, not the tight end, but the fullback, he was very good at run blocking. And then that freed up some play action stuff with him. And that's how he became the hurdle guy. And everyone loves what he can do in the open field. It might not be a time to unleash Mason Wake and Houston Haimuli, because with Dallin Holker leaving, Wake assumes the backup tight end role, and I still think there's a room for a fullback in Houston Haimuli. So they got to do something, because if they can't run the football, they're not gonna have a good season. It's that plain and simple. And Wyoming is a great test because they are a good running team and they're a good run defensive team. So if you can maybe figure out some tweaks to get that going against a good rush defense, that could bode well for the future.
One of the things that we were looking at too, Matt, and this is just one of those deals where, you know, we all the things BYU can look at and see kind of where they're at this season, and you know, a 2-1 start isn't the end of the world. A loss last week, you think about when BYU went 5-0 last year and then they lost 2 in a row. It was meltdown central then too, right? When you start looking at that, you go, BYU, right. Oh my gosh, I was just freaking out about it. But now what for BYU? Because in Independence, it's still an era, even though it's the last year to do it, people just write it off and go, well, I guess BYU, whatever, man. Like, you couldn't figure this thing out, and now the season's over. You're just going to be relegated to another kind of garbage bowl. But where are things? What's the max that BYU can do this year still after that loss to Oregon? Is it just that they have to win out to have this thing be still a special season?
Yeah, I've always believed that too. Like, there is a difference to me between a great season and a special season. Last year was a great season. It was not a special season. And when you think about the special teams in the history of BYU, we're talking 96. We're obviously talking 1984. But there's not a ton of special seasons at BYU football. Now, there's been a lot of great seasons. 2020 was a great season. Last year was a great season. But if you want to have a special year where you are remembered and that's the type of team that you want to bring back down the road and honor the team, it's got to be 11-1, and it has to be a New Year's Six game. Now, everything we've talked about, because we've talked about solving problems and issues that they had against Oregon, you'd think that we're talking about a team that fell out of the rankings. They're still in the top 20, Alex.
Yeah.
So, and they still have road games at Boise State. They have a home game against Arkansas, a neutral against Notre Dame. Like, it's not inconceivable that if this team were to fix the issues and go 11-1, which is a huge ask, I get that. But if that were to happen, to me, there's no reason they could not get that last at-large spot in the Cotton Bowl and have a chance for a special year. So just because you lost to Oregon, I don't think that it's, Mitch feels this way. I don't. But Mitch is like, it's over. It's the Hawaii Bowl. Forget about it. I think because of their ranking and the respect that this program has earned over the past 3 years, I think there was a chance for them to lose a game and still get to a New Year's Six game. But they need to play better. I mean, you can't be just eking out these games and get to a New Year's Six game. They got to figure things out. But that's still in front of them. I don't think that door's closed.
Jimmer Fredette made
it. Do you?
No, I don't think it's over. Come on. Like, my thing is that keeping fans with some perspective is already an impossibility, right? Where you're like,
right.
It's a hard thing to do, but it's even worse in Independence. Like, BYU fans need to count their dang blessings that this thing is the last time around, because here's what happens in Big 12 play. Not only is the season not over, you also have to move right the hell on to another game that is like a huge conference game the very next week. So this is one of those that you go, what are we doing? Like, what exactly how are we supposed to just go, well, it's over. It's not good. Can't do it. Versus, you know, actually having something in front of you that is to work for, to live for, to kind of play for as a team. It is definitely not one of those things that you can have to melt down about. But unfortunately, Independence brings you this problem, right? And so the good news is it's the last version of this for BYU. They can move on in the conference standings. I was talking with Mitch yesterday, who hosted with me, and we were discussing this idea of, you know, basically BYU and the freak out mode that everybody goes into. And the reality is that the Big 12, if you go 6-3 in conference play in your first year, you should probably be pretty dang excited.
Oh, man. If you go 6-3 in conference play, you should have a parade, because you consider how many people are probably going to leave the program at the end of this in terms of graduating or going to the league, or at least, you know, preparing to go to the league. You could be looking at a whole new offensive line, a whole new set of skill players, and the new quarterback. Like, it could be that drastic offensively. And then on the other side of the ball, you could be without your best defensive end. Caleb Hayes could be gone. You could be gone some linebackers. So if you win 6 conference games next year and you have that much turnover, I mean, party in the streets. That we should be welcoming these guys at the airport when they get back from the bowl game, because that would be quite an accomplishment, because the scenario's there. If BYU, let's say they right the ship, and I think that they will, I think they have a very good chance of beating Wyoming and Utah State, and Notre Dame doesn't look that good, so you could win that game. And Arkansas is playing very good football, but they have three very difficult games before they come on a long West Coast road trip. So you can talk yourself into BYU only having this one loss for quite some time. If that happens, all these guys leave, and then you have a new quarterback, you have all this stuff. So there's a scenario next year in which you don't go to a bowl game, because I think the Big 12, there's not two or three teams at the top that are like knocking on the door of being a national champion, but their teams from, I don't know, 2 to 10 can get you easily on any given night. And if a couple games don't go your way, you don't have a winning season. So yeah, I think definitely you got to taper your expectations in the first part of the Big 12 to, you know, if we can be bowl eligible, that's a step in the right direction, because we lose a lot of guys and the talent level is going to significantly increase week to week.
Matt Biamonte joining me here on Unrivaled here as we walk through a little bit of the weekend of college football. I'm going to get to some Wyoming predictions next here around the corner. I've got a Matt Biamonte Wyoming prediction as well.
Oh, no.
We have audio proof of it. We're going to bring it up next. What Matt said he would do if BYU was not going to win this game by a certain amount of points. We'll bring that back next. All brought to you by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients, no preservatives, plenty of protein. G2G Bars, perfect for anybody who needs that quick, tasty, nutritious boost. You have to taste these things. Local company. They are amazing. There's a reason they're refrigerated, because there's no preservatives, and they are dang fresh and dang good. All right, we'll take the break. More to go around the corner. Matt Biamonte stays with me, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.